Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, it's March, and that means March Madness. We're down to the Sweet 16, and this is just might be the year of the underdogs, perhaps. I don't think so right in the end, but we'll find out what Justice Cleveland has to say on this. We're talking some college hoops with him today. He's sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire. He's been with us before. It's always great to have him back. So are you watching this year's NCAA men's and women's tournaments? Which teams are you following closely? How are your brackets looking? You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Justice Cleveland, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Oh, great to be back. Great to be back. I don't know if I want to talk about my bracket, but here we are.
I still have Houston and Alabama. But
Houston, I got Houston winning in a couple of my brackets. I got the three of them I think I filled out total, but the rest of them are, you could have just shredded them up already.
I had Marquette and Arizona as the other two Final Four. Oh, my goodness. I think it was CBS's contest where they had 2 million voters, and like after the first day or two, only 700 were left who had, roughly 700, who had picked everything correctly, which I thought was amazing in and of itself. But then they all went away when Purdue lost.
Right. Yeah, you get that 16 seed losing. Somebody's bound to pick it, but you had to get them all right at that point. I don't know. I think we've gotten to a point in college basketball where the top of the tier and in that middle tier now aren't very different. They really aren't. I think, if Wisconsin would have got in the tournament, we could still be talking about them playing in this tournament, not the NIT. That's just how close everybody is right now in college basketball. So the haves and haves not, compared to a lot of other sports, especially college football, I think are much closer in college basketball.
Why do you think that's the case?
I think just the amount of talent that's out there and people don't slip through the cracks anymore. I think about, I went to UW-Stevens Point and they had Terry Porter, went on to have a great NBA career. He was playing Division III or NAIA at that time basketball. That doesn't happen anymore. If you have talent, somebody's going to be out there and is going to find you. And it might come to, you might be the AAU and, the talent is being under a microscope for a long time, I feel like, in basketball. And if it's out there, they're going to find a way. And I think, strategy-wise, if you can be like a Princeton and you find a way to make that strategy work against, a more high-powered team, you can do it. So it seems to be almost like an ultimate equalizer when it comes to sports is NCAA basketball somehow. Now, is it that way in the women's game as much? Not as much. But in the men's game right now, it is so, razor thin between – the haves and have not. And I think Wisconsin actually was a great example of that. If they win three or four more of those games that went into overtime, they're in the tournament.
Yeah.
And because they couldn't pull those out, they're in the NIT. So it is pretty crazy how close everything is.
I think part of the reason, too, might be the fact that players can move, men or women, can move from one college to another. And if it's not working out for you at one place, there are many, many times. I was watching the games, and there was so many of the really good players had transferred from somewhere else and were now playing for the team that was winning.
Right, and a lot of those, if it doesn't work out in the first year, they're in that transfer portal, and I'm sure we'll see that. Even with Wisconsin this year, once they're done, you can bet there'll probably be somebody who will go in the portal because they feel like there's a fit somewhere else that they can get more playing time and be better utilized. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. The transfer portal has changed things up. I think basketball was already trending towards, being a little more competitive that way. But once you added the transfer portal, you have guys going from these bigger programs to maybe a little smaller program, but finding a way to fit in better. So, yeah, it's definitely changed the way the game and recruiting is played.
So you have Houston winning. I have Alabama winning against Houston in the final. I only had one bracket. I only filled out one this year. So I probably should have. And it wouldn't have made any difference, to be perfectly honest. My brackets would still look awful, no matter what I did, I think.
Yeah, oh, mine. I didn't say I pulled out three, and none of them are even close. I think the one that I'm even having the most success, I'm 63%, and I was surprised to see that I got 63% of my picks right. Because as soon as you heard, like, Virginia, you know, a team like that go out, you're like, oh, and it's maybe because I'm from Green Bay and Tony Bennett's from Green Bay, and I'm, like, picking with my heart there.
Yeah.
But as soon as they were gone, and then Arizona was another one that I had going far, Baylor, Purdue. I mean, it was so a quick 48 hours of just getting ready to shred your brackets, because that's just how it is now. But that's what makes this tournament probably the most popular in sports, because you have that unpredictability, and we've seen it more, I think, this year than we've seen it in a lot of years.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. What was the biggest shocker for you? Was it Purdue?
I think it was Purdue. It to me, Kansas, I think losing two kind of surprised me there in the second round, but I think Purdue. I mean, this is a team that had, you know, suffered an upset the year before too. So for it to happen 2 years in a row and to be that number one seed, I mean, I know a 16 beating a one is always going to be an upset. Obviously, it's only happened two times, but yeah, I did not expect that to happen this year. And it's you feel bad, but hey, if you're Purdue, remember when Virginia got upset the next year? What'd they do? They won the NCAA championship. So Purdue, get ready to hang that banner in 2024.
Well, the difference there was with Virginia, their best player, certainly one of their best players, didn't play in that first game because of injury when they were upset years back, whereas Purdue had everybody there and just got out-coached, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's easy to come into those first-round matchups, you know, underlooking the guy that's coming at you. But so for Purdue, it's not, you know, for them, it's not the biggest game in the world. But for Fairleigh Dickinson, that's the biggest game they're going to play. And for them to pull off that upset, they now have, you know, it's them and Maryland, Baltimore County as the 2-16s to get those wins. That'll always be, you know, that's always something they can hold their hat on or hang their hat on.
Justice Cleveland, our guest today, sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire, our guest today. What about the women's side? It was kind of an interesting thing on the women's side, and I got to believe that Indiana is not feeling too good about Miami anymore, because both the men and the women lost to Miami.
what a tough 24 hours there, especially in the Midwest. We're still kind of, you're still cold out, and there you go. You got a Miami team beating both your men's and women's teams in a 24-hour span in the tournament. Yeah, that's a rough one. That just kind of speaks to, that's how sports go.
Really, yeah.
Only in sports, it feels like something like that's going to happen. But with the women's tournament, you know, what I love seeing is that it is getting more and more publicity. It's getting more and more airtime every year. And I think it took that pandemic, you know, I think it was 2021, actually, when you could see the difference in facilities that the men were getting to the women, to the NCAA to say, okay, we can't do this. You know, if you're going to give this all for the men's tournament, give the women the tournament too. So now they're getting, you know, it used to be whip-around coverage. You wouldn't even get, like, full broadcasts of games. You would go from three different games ESPN would have. Now they're showing full games. You can get all the games. And I believe the ABC will have the championship and the Final Four. So for me, that's what I like seeing is the growth, put the spotlight on it and keep it growing.
And ESPN is carrying the games.
Right, exactly. So you're getting a chance to see these games. And and there's been some good performances already. I think, you know, around here, I've been watching Iowa and just the way that they play and the flair that they play with. I think that's a team that's opening up a lot of eyes.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Well, you can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. What do you think about the tournaments? Maybe you got a question about Aaron Rodgers. He's certainly been talked about a lot lately. And the Packers, too, are getting a little... some people are saying that's kind of a dirty tricks they're pulling on Aaron, but I don't know about that. We can talk about that. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@WPR.org. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back. I know Tom in Minocqua has a question. Tom, hang in there. We'll be back right after this look at the news. I'm Larry Mueller with Justice Cleveland of WEAU-TV in Eau Claire, our guest today on our sports segment on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at sports on the show right now, Larry Mueller here. We've been talking college basketball, of course, and March Madness with our guest, Justice Cleveland, sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire. So as we talk with him, it's always fun to have Justice on the show. I hope you'll join in. Where do you think the Badgers program is headed next year? What other questions do you have? Maybe about other sports and other teams. I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Tom in Minocqua, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. I'm hoping your guest could talk a little bit about the status of men's basketball in the WEAC, the other realm of Wisconsin basketball. I was in school during the Ken Anderson years, huge rivalries with Point and Whitewater and Platteville. And then I lived in Stevens Point when they had some national championships. But I know that a lot of those teams have kind of flagged in recent years. So just what's going on in WEAC, and who are the strong teams, who need to improve, et cetera?
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
No, that's right in my wheelhouse there. As obviously covering the Blue Golds here in Eau Claire a lot, I went to UW-Stevens Point, got to watch some great Jack Bennett teams back in the day there. So, yeah, I mean, it's still, to me, the basketball in the WIAC, WEAC, is still some of the, if not the best in Division III. I would say Eau Claire was middle of the road this year, but they were one of those teams on any given night could beat any other team. And that's kind of how the whole conference was. I know Stevens Point going through a change here. Jack Semling's not the coach anymore after he had taken over from Jack Bennett now 20 years ago. So it's up and down, but still, I think for a whole, the conference is still very, very strong. Oshkosh was the top team in the regular season, but Whitewater, a team that, D3 Sports and Whitewater kind of go hand in hand at this point for them being able to make runs in both men's and women's. So, yeah, I think WIAC is still very, very strong and still some of the best peer basketball you're going to see. And you don't see as much transferring and changing a lot. So you get to see these guys for a lot of times for 4 years. And obviously during the pandemic, we got 5 years too. So, yeah, I think the conference is still going very, very strong.
Even 6 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's what. Yeah, 6 years. Got to grow up with them.
Oh my gosh! Thanks, Tom, for calling. I appreciate it. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, Jill Nadeau was shedding some tears as a Marquette graduate when they were knocked out of the tournament by Michigan State. Marquette's kind of a young team, I think, but looks like it could be pretty promising down the road for them.
Yeah, Shaka Smart in just 2 years here has done a great job getting that team back up to prominence in the Big East. I think surprising a lot of people, especially this year. I don't think, going into the season, they were probably considered middle of the road, maybe even, bottom towards, and they shot towards the top to win the conference. So that's about as good of an outlook as you can have as a coach to come in like that. Will there be some growing pains maybe next year? Probably, but still, I think they're set with that team and the young talent they have there alone with that and what they'll probably be getting recruiting-wise. I mean, this is going to do great for their recruiting for Shaka Smart, who's already a great recruiter. But you know what? What do you get? You get a conference championship. It's going to very much help.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they ran into Michigan State. And, in the tournament, you think about the tournament, point guards, the guards – guard play is really, really important, and Michigan State had some veteran guards that I think were the difference there.
Yeah, you can never count out a Tom Izzo squad in the tournament. They get in as a 7 seed, but Izzo has so much big game experience coaching, and he just knows how to win these kind of games. And I think as Big Ten teams go, he's found a way to have more success than a lot of them do, because the Big Ten at times tends to struggle in the tournament. You know, they make runs, there's years, but then there's years that they just struggle. So I think, yeah, what Izzo can do with the team, it has been pretty amazing in his tenure there at Michigan State.
The Badgers are playing in the NIT National Invitational Tournament this year. Not, as we were saying earlier, not kind of what they were hoping for, but I think playing in the NIT is really good for the team.
I do too, because I feel like they've kind of developed a different swagger in a way in the NIT. I think Stephen Crowell has transformed into a different player with the intensity of these tournament games. I mean, this is a guy who has the height, has the talent, and we didn't quite see it on display during the regular season, but man, he has turned into a different beast here in the NIT. It's like a different level of intensity. I think he went to like the Brad Davison masterclass or something, and that's what it's looked like during it. So I think it's really good for this Badger team. I think this is something they kind of need to develop, maybe a little more killer instinct. As we know, they lost a lot of really, really close games, were competitive with some really good teams, and just missed the tournament. Well, this was a team that was kind of predicted to be where they ended up finishing. That's what people forget. They started out like gangbusters, but were predicted to be, I think, 10th in the Big Ten at the start of the year. So it's kind of, you know, they exceeded their expectations early on and then just couldn't win back-to-back games and just struggled down the stretch. But I think this is definitely something that's going to help this team as they move forward to next year.
And I'm just kind of hoping the transfer portal doesn't open up for our...
Yeah, that's where you always, because you don't really know until, you know, a day after they're done. All of a sudden, you know, the tweets and all that stuff will start popping out there. But I hope that, you know, they can keep the core of this team. And, you know, they got some recruits. I can't think of the name, but, you know, coming from Minnesota that are, you know, 3 or 4 star recruits that are going to come and play for them. So I think the future is going to be good. It's just the struggles this year and the fact that, you know, you have coaching changes in the football team and the hockey team. That's when people start talking about more and more, you know, what's the problem with Greg Gard? Well, the problem was this team was just wasn't quite where it needed to be, but wasn't projected to be one of the top teams in the Big Ten. And I think they just kind of were where they were going to be the whole season and exceeded expectations early on.
Hadn't been for the, I wonder, I, you know, as someone with season tickets and who watches all the games, it was the swagger that they had in those first 14 games or so, 12 games, just sort of went away when Tyler Wall went down and then Max Klesmit was down a few days. And that's when the losing started. And it seemed to have a attitude, or I don't know what it was, but they lacked a little of their swagger after when that happened.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I think, you know, it was started with that Illinois loss, and it just kind of, you know, there was 3 in a row there, and they just never quite could regain that momentum that they had early in the season. I think, you know, if they beat Kansas and two, you know, they would have been at that point 9-1, 10-1. So I just don't know if there was just a confidence loss or something like that, but it really seems like they've kind of got it back here in the NIT.
So just on to go back to the women's NCAA, are you got any predictions for that? South Carolina is sitting at a number one seed that's still in there.
I mean, to me, they look like that team that, I mean, they're just dominating in their games, you know, winning by 30 some points every game. So I'll have a bigger test here with UCLA coming up. But, I mean, to me, they've got to be the favorite. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, me predicting the favorite doesn't seem to work in the men's tournament. So I don't know why I would try to do it on the women's. But I do like that Iowa team, too. But they're going to more than likely, you know, they got lucky in their bracket because Stanford got knocked out.
Yeah.
So Iowa has a chance there. They could, you know, to get to the Final Four where they would end up facing off against South Carolina. So there, you know, there were plenty of upsets on the women's side too. But, you know, you got to think that something unpredictable is going to happen here in the next couple of weeks too with that.
Well, on the brighter side of things, we've got a team that wasn't expected to win the national tournament in women's hockey and came through. I watched that game sort of clicking back and forth between Marquette and Michigan State at basketball and our Badger women's hockey team that are national champions.
Yeah, what a, you know, kind of, if you would have said that, I think it was the end of January when they lost 5 straight. Yeah. It would have been like, whoa, But they, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And that's what the Badger team showed. And it goes to the brilliance of Mark Johnson as a head coach. I mean, he has been able to get the most from that team almost every year, and, you know, a seventh national title, and going out there and knocking off the, you know, the first, second, and third ranked teams to get there. It wasn't an easy path to do it, and they just played so great. And it's awesome, because that program, I wish we could shout it out more from the rooftop so that program could get even more recognition, because it's unheard of what they've been able to do with him as head coach there, and just keep it going. And it's a tradition that it's great to see, and I just hope it keeps going.
Well, that championship game when it was 1-0 and with the highest scoring team, you know, the number one team in the nation against them, Ohio State.
Right.
It was just nail-biting the whole way, because you had to think, if Ohio State scored a goal, they were probably going to win the game, score another
right.
one.
Yeah, you get that one-goal lead, that momentum just hanging in the balance there if they were able to tie it. And an Ohio State team that basically handled the Badgers in the regular season. I think it was 3-1 they were against the Badgers in the regular season. It just shows you just how that team transformed in the final month. And the faith that Mark Johnson had in his players that they were going to figure it out, and they surely did.
Yeah, and on the men's side, we're going to be looking for – I don't think we've got a new coach yet. We're looking for looking for a new coach. And Aaron Rodgers is probably looking to play with the football with the Jets next year, the New York Jets, assuming everything goes the way it's supposed to go.
You don't want to assume too much, but I think a deal will get done. But I think the Packers definitely hold the cards, I think, right now. And the Jets, and they can hold the cards, I think, until like September 1st or something like that, which I would hope it does not go that long.
No, they're just trying to get more picks, I suppose, or something. Better
more
deal.
More compensation, yeah. I mean, that's how it works. It's the business. It's just, you know, to be reliving this 15 years later after the Brett Favre saga. For those who were working in the media back then, I don't think any of us wanted to have to go through this again. But here we are. You know, it was that old time's a flat circle. We're right back to where we are.
Somebody said, and 10 years from now, Jordan Love will be going off to play in the with the Jets.
Right. I would have never thought this would happen. As somebody who was there when the Favre stuff happened, I felt like Aaron Rodgers made this concerted effort to do a lot of things that, you know, Brett Favre didn't do. But, you know, it's a business. It's a business. And unfortunately, this is how most, you know, there aren't many John Elway win the Super Bowl retirement moments in football. It's usually going to end a little bit messy. And here we are.
Yeah.
Back to a little bit messy.
Yeah. And what about the rest of the team? A lot of players are going away for the Packers, too.
Yeah. I think the one that happened right around the Rodgers thing was losing, you know, Robert Tonyan, who was, you know, your top tight end. And I think you're going to have that when there's a little bit of shakeup, and they still, you know, obviously there's still salary issues. Once they get Rodgers away, they're still going to have to soak up, I think, a lot of his salary for this year, even after they trade him. So yeah, it's tough. There's a lot of young, good talent on the team. I think you still have Aaron Jones returning. Christian Watson obviously showed what, you know, they saw in him, especially when that stretch where he was scoring, you know, two touchdowns a game. So the potential's there, but it's going to be, you know, one of those teams. We're not going to know anything until the regular season really starts with this team. You know, you're not going to have the Aaron Rodgers factor there. It's a Jordan Love factor, and that's still an unknown. So it's going to be one of the most up in the air seasons I think we've seen with the Packers. Maybe, you know, who knows, going back to before Brett Favre. Honestly, I mean, it could be one of those first and 30 years where you really don't know what you have. Though you didn't really know what you had with Aaron Rodgers in 2008, but he quickly showed his talent when he got his chance.
And I see Jordan Love is now invited the receivers to go meet him out in California for sort of to get to know each other better or something and practice together.
Yeah, and they're going to have, you know, they're going to have to bring in some guys, veteran receivers too, because really it's Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Samori Toure, not household names other than maybe Watson at this point. So there's going to be a lot of you know, once they get this deal with Rodgers done, it'll be interesting to see what other dominoes end up falling there. But I mean, it's good for Jordan Love. I mean, again, if this somehow works out for the Packers, you know, you have another third in a row. I don't think I can't think of a team that's went three in a row. You know, no. Hall of Fame quarterbacks back to back can happen. That rarely happens. Ask the Chicago Bears. So yeah, having if Jordan Love, if this ends up working, I've always been a proponent of having your starting quarterback sit a little bit and let them take in what the game and let the speed come to them. And we'll see if that ends up helping Jordan Love.
Well, see, how long did Rodgers sit? 4 years, was it?
It was 3 years, yeah. It was three years just like Jordan Love, and it worked out. And, you know, people questioned, was that too much for somebody to sit? Well, back in the day, it wasn't uncommon for quarterbacks to sit for a year or two, you know. Now it's like if you draft someone in the first round, they got to be good or they're done. Whereas we look at the Jets, that's why they're trading for Aaron Rodgers right now, because you draft a quarterback, Zach Wilson, and it doesn't work. Now you're on to the next guy. So times have changed, but I think if the formula worked once with Rodgers, we'll see if it works with Love.
Yeah, and I think the Jets, they've had a really good team otherwise. They could go places with Aaron Rodgers for sure.
Right. Their defense is really, really good. The offense obviously had its struggles, but they didn't really have a good leader up there. So if Rodgers still has it, you know, the sky could be the limit. I just, you know, how much are they going to be willing to pay to get Rodgers? If Woody Johnson, their owner, wants this to happen, it's going to happen. But they might be mortgaging a lot of their future for 1 or 2 years with Rodgers. But they'll see.
I don't know if you're much into golf, but I bet you are in terms of the Masters Golf Tournament, which is also right around the corner. It's always first weekend of April, isn't it?
Right. It's usually around my birthday weekend, so it's kind of nice.
So
I can sit back and dream of, not this year, I'll be dreaming of going outside and golfing instead of actually doing it.
Well, I was looking just to see, you know, sort of the favorites off the top. The betting line is on Jon Rahm. I think is a 7-1 favorite, and Rory McIlroy is 8-1, something like that.
They don't have Scottie Scheffler, the defending champ, as the top, which is kind of amazing if you think about that. But it's the Masters; not many people repeat there, so I can understand that too.
And Tiger Woods, I looked him up as 55-1. Wouldn't be the worst place to spend $20.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to bet against a guy because, you know, that place is a lot of muscle memory more than anything. You know what I mean? If you've played that tournament, obviously you're going to have different setups from day to day, but it's one of those unique things where you're playing the same location for a major. So I love it. To me, it's almost like a holiday, the Masters that week, and just sitting back, listening to the, you know, they always have those natural mics going, you're hearing the birds and everything. So yeah, I can't believe it's only a couple of weeks away here too, especially looking out and we still have like a foot of snow to melt here in Eau Claire. So
I remember one year, and this is years back, that during the Masters, you always hear the birds singing in the background, and CBS had to apologize because birders were watching, and the bird songs they were hearing were not birds that are you would find in Georgia at that time of the year. And so there was a big hullabaloo about it, and CBS had to admit that it had used recordings of birds.
Oh, man. Well, they had a couple of years ago, I think there was some cicadas that were hatching, like, you know, I don't know, 15 years. Don't get me. I'm not.
Yeah,
not my expertise. But they had some cicadas that, and then that was what you heard the whole time, were those cicadas in the trees. So, but yeah, it is one of those where it's just every year you kind of know what you're going back to when you go there and watch it, and there's usually plenty of drama.
Yeah, there's always plenty of drama. Well, back to the NCAA men's tournament for a minute. So you picked Houston. Do you think Alabama really had the kind of easy row to hoe, so to speak, getting in? And they are awfully, awfully good.
Yeah. I mean, and if you look at it too, they got San Diego State, and then it would be, or no, excuse me, it would be, they, yeah, they, Creighton was in. Yeah. So they, yeah. I mean, they're, it's there for them to make it, but man, with all the upsets, I'm not gonna say Alabama will be in it. I'm not gonna say Houston's gonna be in it because I picked them. So that usually is the thing that's
the death knell.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. I think we have, you know, they're coming up this weekend. We're gonna have a lot more drama coming here. So it's gonna be fun.
The best game on paper, at least, looks to be UCLA versus Gonzaga, and at least in my mind, but. Mm-hmm. I'd also want to tune in, and darn it, it's late, on Friday night, Creighton and Princeton, that number 15 Princeton team. It would be, it would really be a lot of fun if they could win yet another game.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be, you know, just keep that Cinderella run going in a tournament that has, you know, that's what you remember. So, yeah, I mean, if they could match up against Alabama.
What do you think of the coverage, by the way, this year? The TV coverage?
I think it's been fine. I've enjoyed it. I mean, it's the, you know, they stagger the starts, so you have a chance to usually see the ends, and it's not interfering with, you know, the end of another game. So I think it's so immense, those first two rounds. I mean, there's so many things going on that, you know, you could have five screens going on at once, and a lot of people do. You know, you got it on your computer, you got like another TV or something like that going on. So, yeah, it's one of those that it's such an overwhelming but yet an amazing time, and there's so many games are going on at once that there's usually some kind of drama that you get drawn into.
And I'm, you know, you sort of have withdrawal pains once it all goes away. Oh, we don't have more basketball to watch.
Right. Those first 2 days, too, are so fun with the just sheer amount of basketball that's being played. That once it slows down, you're like, oh, there's not like four games going on.
Justice, thanks a lot. I appreciate it very much. Hope you'll do it again with us down
the
road.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Justice Cleveland, our guest today, sports director at WEAU-TV in Eau Claire. Always great to have him with us. He'll be back, I'm hoping. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about efforts to combat aquatic invasive species in southeastern Wisconsin. Stay with us.